Morning, everyone. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this day that you have made, that we can come to hear your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you help us to understand your word and let your word be like food for our soul, to give us direction and guidance, and it would just make so much sense, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, kind of continue from when I did EMP a week ago. We'll just read from verse 1 to 7. All right. Verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed to the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We'll stop right there. So last week, just to give a little context, we're going to look at starting at verse 4, the what love is not. And prior to verse 4, right, Paul kind of shares that even if you're operating in spiritual gifts, even if you are living out even spiritual disciplines, right, it amounts to nothing if you're not doing it for the sake of love. Love is not the means, love is the ends. And all these other things, whether you're spiritual gifts, spiritual disciplines, living the Christian life, coming to EMP, coming to Sunday service, those aren't the ends. They're just a means to love, right? And then Paul goes on to define, helps us to understand, okay, what does this love look like? And he does this by starting off with sharing two things with what love is, and that's its patience. Love is patience, aka long-suffering, and love is kindness. And then he goes on to share eight knots. What this is what love is not. And then I believe it goes on to one, two, a few more, right? And right off the bat, what kind of stuck out to me as I was going through this is he shares a lot of what love is not, right? It's like eight. This is what love isn't, right? And if you really take a look, it's easy to just glaze over it. But if you really look at it, you'll notice that all these things, if they're not dealt with, it will become sin, right? And I think the reason he lists out these eight, why so many, is because it is so common. When we go through these eight things, we're like, oh yeah, those things are messed up, right? I mean, they are, Those aren't good things. But what should also come to mind as we go through them is like, oh my gosh, this is me. This is me. I would say even all 8 of these things. Because Paul is sharing this because these would be the common things instead of operating in love, right? These, instead of, even when we use, again, spiritual gifts, relationships, spiritual disciplines, quite naturally, in our flesh, these 8 things would be our motives. Instead of our motive being love, it would be these 8 things. And I think, as we go through it as well, like, how do you know, if you identify these 8 things, I would say that would be good. Because I would even say, how do you know if you're a mature Christian? It's not that you don't have any of these things, right? You're like, I'm never jealous. I don't brag, right? If that's where you're at, I would say you're not that mature as a Christian. Because they're all in us. The maturity is that you would actually be able to identify those things in your life, right? You see Paul, as he matures, he's able to identify these things more and more and more in his life. You're not embracing it. It's there. You're being real, right? Those things are in your life. But, of course, as you identify it, the next step to that maturity is how do you deal with it? Right? How do you process it? So anyway, that's a little intro. So we're going to just go through the 8, what love is not. The 8 is not. The first one, love is not jealous. In other translations, it says it does not envy. And this is a really ugly is not, right? Jealousy. What is jealousy? It's when you're coveting. It's when you're looking at someone, you're looking from the position of looking up, right? And you look up and you see someone else's life or something that they purchased or something, or something they did, and you look and you want what they have. And that's jealousy, right? And that's social media. I feel like everyone on social media, when they take a picture, let's be real, you want people to be like, wow. Right? Maybe you don't want to cause jealousy to that extent, but you want some sort of like, wow, you're so lucky. Right? And so it's not uncommon to have this feeling, experience of jealousy. And we see if jealousy is undealt with, it really can become a sin, right? You see this in Genesis 4. Envy, what caused Abel to be envy murdered Abel, right? You see with Cain and Abel. We see this also with Joseph, the brothers. Jealousy, right? And it was because of envy, it caused Joseph to be enslaved, right? They were jealous. He was flaunting, you know, he was flaunting his jacket just as we would flaunt our Instagram, right? And then people, his brothers, saw that, didn't like it, and as a result, sold him to slavery. Crazy. We see this even more subtly with, and I think this is usually with jealousy, right? We're very cool with that. We know jealousy is not cool. So we try to be cool with it, right? We see this with Ananias and Sapphira. Less, more subtle. Everyone was giving freely in the church. And so they saw that and they're like, oh, I like that. That looks, I want that. That looks cool. And so they also did it, but not with not an honest heart. Even Jesus, envy was what put Jesus on the cross. In Matthew 27, 18, it says, for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Right? And so I know this is a, it's not a cool feeling to have when you're jealous. And that's what I'm talking about. Are you mature or immature? If you're immature, you know it's not a cool thing to have. Right? So you just don't acknowledge it. It's not something you want to even be honest with. You're like, I'm not jealous. Right? You're like, oh, that doesn't impress me. Whatever. I'm cool. But the reality is, yes, we get jealous. We compare. We see what other people have and we desire it. And if it's not dealt with, it can escalate, right? So hopefully you can be real with it. And then deal with it with God, right? And the whole reason is if you this is like, this is how you process as a mature Christian. Ah, I'm feeling this jealousy. I don't know. I really like Rachel's water bottle. It's so nice. It's you can see it's got a nice surfer color. And you're like, oh, why didn't I get one? And then I find out that Nate gave it to her. And I'm like, how about me? Where's my water bottle? So what do you do at that point? It's a silly example, but for real, you start to feel, oh, I kind of, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why do I want what she has and jealous that Nate gave it to her, right? You process it by going to God. Like, God, do I really have anything to be jealous about? Are you withholding anything from me? It's like, oh, yeah, actually, I just got a water bottle from Spill, right? Sorry if you didn't get one. Causing jealousy. It's like, oh, actually, God, you provide every need I have. So even if other people have things I want, I don't need to be dissatisfied because you provide everything I need, right? That's just example, but pretty much how all my conversations go with God go, whether it be with jealousy or other things, okay? Next one, love does not brag. Other translation says, does not parade itself. This is pride, right? This is where you want credit for yourself. It's in me, right? If I preach, a part of me wants to receive the credit. In my flesh, even in my head, I'm like, I don't want the credit. God, it's for you. But then there's a part of me that wants it. And I don't even want to admit it, right? But I have to humble myself, be even more aware of this sin that's in my heart. And when it comes, again, go to God, right? We want that credit. Think about it. Even in relationships with your parents, I don't know, your spouse, your friends, if you do something for them, don't you want credit for it? Don't you want to flaunt it? We don't, of course, we're very cool about it, right? But if you really love, it's not about that, right? It's not about earning. It's not about wanting people, like, you know, you have to really look at, like, you know, if I do things for my spouse or my kids, you know, if I'm cleaning up after them or doing something and they're not in the room, I'm not going to tell them, like, Janie, just so you know, I don't know. You know that hair that is on the shower wall? Okay, it's because I think all husbands will probably know. I don't know why, but like afterwards, like hair falls out and then like they just put it somewhere and it's on the wall and it kind of freaks you out. It's like, you turn on the shower, a gush of wind, and I'm literally like, ah! So anyway, it's a thing we have. I'm talking about, hey, just so you know, I threw it out for you. And then every time she does something for me, she's like, oh, just so you know, I did this for you. Like, that's ridiculous. Hopefully, if you're in a relationship, you just, out of love, you just do it. You don't need to keep track of how much each person has done. Right? And it doesn't always have to be fair either. But sometimes it's also good to share so that they know, and it's not about you, but it's about them knowing that they're loved. If that's the reason, sometimes, like, you know, like, it's sometimes you don't always have to be anonymous, right? If you're, even if you're giving to a brother and sister in need, because when I was young, I always did it anonymously. I was like, I don't want any credit, ever. So I would give money, like, oh, hey, that person's in need. Do you think you can give on my behalf? And that was, it was cool, right? But then what I learned was sometimes, and so you have to really check your heart. You have to pray about it. Sometimes if you're the one who gives it, it can be meaningful to the person as well in a different way because they feel, oh, God, it's like a double. If it's anonymous, they're like, oh, God, that's amazing. And then if a person in the community gives, it can also be, God, you're the provider. And you brought this person into my life who loves me. Maybe at times that's even more precious than the actual amount. So sometimes maybe the amount or being anonymous, it doesn't have to be anonymous. But again, it's about love, right? It's not about earning. It's taking longer. Next one is not arrogant. Is not arrogant. Other translation says, it is not puffed out. So this is similar to bragging, I think. Bragging is you want to take credit, but arrogance is when you just think highly of yourself, right? Jealousy, you're comparing and you're looking up and desiring what other people want. Arrogance is you're looking down at people and you're comparing. You're like, oh, I'm so much better than this person. And this is probably the worst, and this is probably why Paul, in the prior to this listing, in the paragraph, he's talking about all these spiritual things, spiritual gifts, spiritual activities, spiritual disciplines, because the worst is spiritual pride, right? That's the worst. And that's where you're taking these things that really aren't meant for arrogance. It's meant to bless other people, right? We know that the spiritual gifts is not to really benefit yourself. It's to benefit the body of Christ. It's basically, it's meant to help others. And instead, you're using these things, if you're being arrogant, to look down on people. By that, I mean is you're comparing. Like, oh, I'm so much better than that person because I speak in tongues. Oh, I was on time for church. I came at the pre-service prayer, and they came at the start of worship, right? I have those thoughts. Not I'm better, but I have those thoughts of, like, sometimes, like, man, it's so subtle, right? Like, man, how come they're not even, don't they care? Like, didn't they come on time? I'm still comparing. I might not be like, oh, I'm better than them, but I'm still not being out of love, right? And we'll stop here. But this connects to something later, right, which is love does not act. Not act, but love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, right? So that doesn't mean, oh, if someone is late for church or something and you're like, why are you doing that? Like, how it connects to it does not rejoice unrighteousness is because if that's the case, don't just look down on the person or get angry or frustrated and judge them, but do something, right? You want to be righteous. You want the truth. And if you want the truth out of love, then even if it's a difficult conversation, you would have it with that person to let them know the truth, to share with them why it's important or why it's valuable to experience the Sunday church service, not just the Sunday sermon, but even the worship time, right? So then as you were like, oh, hey, they're not coming, if you're really loving instead of just judging them, be like, ugh, they're always late, you know, that person. you would go with them, have a conversation, right? Want to help them, want to teach them, want to share with them. So let's, Sybil, we'll stop here. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. If there's any of these things in your heart, whether it be the way you do church, you do your faith, even do relationship with others, right? Are you jealous? Do you brag? Do you love to take credit for yourself? Are you acting out in arrogance where you're looking down on others? And if the answer is yes, you can identify those things. Great, I want to say. Great. Now you can process it with God. Process with God to really align yourself with Him so that you can not have to act out in jealousy. Why you don't have to brag. Why you don't have to be arrogant, right? It always points back to Jesus, how He takes care of you. He's your identity. So therefore, you have nothing to prove, nothing to compare. And then, as you process that, you can embrace what God desires for us, which is to love, to be kind, to be patient, to rejoice in the truth, to keep every confidence, to believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Let's go before the Lord as Sybil leads us. Just take some time to identify and process. Thank you. Because God, just as this song, it shows a snippet of the love that you have for us that's demonstrated through your actions, Lord. We just need to look to you always to draw inspiration, to see we should love as well, Lord. Just as we have freely chosen to receive the love that you have done for us, we can always look to that to understand, to experience, and therefore do the same, Lord. You are not jealous. You don't brag. You're not arrogant, Lord. It's not about those things, all those things. It's some comparing. You just love on us, Lord, and help us, Holy Spirit, to do the same. When our motive is not love, help us to identify, Lord, so that we would be sanctified, Lord, to become more like you. When those things pop up in our hearts so subtly, so embarrassingly, Lord, we would humble ourselves to bring it before you and say, yeah, I'm jealous. I'm arrogant. I like to show off. I like to brag. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those on the list going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Did we separate the cancer list? Oh, okay. Let's pray for this first. Let's pray for strength, for God's restoration, for encouragement during this very difficult time. Let's also pray for those who are ill in need of continued healing, and also, but even more importantly, word of salvation in their life, that they would be able to know Jesus and know the good news. Let's pray for their healing and for God to speak to them, use the people around them to also speak into their life. Also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities.
Let's also pray for Trish on COVID list. She's in Australia. So you can pray for, she's doing okay for now. So pray for your, pray for her covering, healing, that her kids and her parents who are living with her won't catch it. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers. Get the jobs. If you could also pray for Andrew and Hazel. Andrew is one of our house church leaders. Hazel is his wife, and they just had a baby, Boaz. So just a few months, but I think we just found out that his wife Hazel has brain cancer. So let's pray. Can we just pray for them? Kind of, I think, gutted by just hearing about the situation. So please, let's just pray. Let's pray for God to miraculously come and to really come in a very personal, intimate way into the family. Those on the jobs list, let's pray for God's provision, His leading, His timing. Go to our prayer list. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Government, wealth gap, revival, churches, sports services, Shanti, YWAM, Ga Catering, S&D, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's also pray for the staff, and if you're there Sunday, you know we've added 3 new staff. Praise God. And I'm very happy and grateful for all our new staff. And could you pray for the staff? Pray for unity of the staff, that we would gel. You know, it's a new season. Yeah, pray for that the new staff would also be able to adjust and get acclimated as well. and there'd be so much love within the staff. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming, barista, and logistics. Let's pray for the leaders, everyone who serves on the team, that they have the joy of serving. I mean, that's really what hospitality is, right? To take care of people. Let's pray for these ministries. Pray for the worship and sound team led by P. Nate, and also you can pray for the AV team that's led by myself / Rachel. So let's pray. Pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for Fiona, Leslie, Tyon, Hina, and other moms. Let's pray for protection, for strength. Let's also pray for the house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K House, OPR, and Princeton. Let's pray for a time of connecting, of Holy Spirit really moving and knitting everyone together, and just really good discussion as well. Yes, God, give thanks for your word and your reminders for us today that you are good, you are capable, you are a provider, you're constantly pursuing us and desiring us and actively in our life, Lord. Because of all these things, Lord, then we can really be your hands and feet Lord, that we can love, that we can be a light and reflect the light that you have, that we have received from you, and have others experience it as well, Lord. So help us, Lord, to really represent you well, that we would love through our actions, through our attitudes, the way we interact with one another. And just lead us and be with us. Help us to discern when you're moving and your will for us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Please continue to spend some time with God. Otherwise, have a great day.